You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers wind down the preseason with the trip to Kansas City.
As the Packers cut the roster down to 53.
Meanwhile, the Rodgers drama rears its ugly head again.
But fear not, the other 52 players are something to talk about as well.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. Welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. This will be, we're finally done with the preseason. We're ready to start talking about real football coming back, and we got ourselves a roster. We know what we're going to talk about. So fun frivolity here. In our 13th season doing this crazy podcast, our host tonight is the amazing Kelly Hodgson, known as @ThatPackerGirl on Twitter, and called up from the practice squad and filling in for Jersey Al, who is on vacation somewhere on the Eastern Steward, John Heesh, known as @JohnHeesh5 on Twitter. That's J-H-E-E-S-C-H 5. Make sure to look him up because it's a very active account. Lastly, me, C.D. Angeli of Packers Talk, known as @Tundervision on Twitter. Quick message from our sponsor, our longtime friends at Ticket King, are back as the official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all of Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King has been in business for more than 25 years and has offices across the street from Lambeau Field in Milwaukee. They currently have a special deal just for Packers Talk listeners. You can get 10% off their already low prices by using code PT10 when you order your tickets. This offer will expire in August. That's soon. So don't sit on this. Visit their website today at theticketking.com and get your discount. That's theticketking.com. That's it for the preliminaries, and let's get the show on the road. Anyway, welcome to Cheesehead Radio, and hello, Kelly and John. We're going without Jersey Al. It's like our training wheels are off, and we got to see where this show's going to end up going.
Howdy, happy to be here.
Well, we'll see how happy you are by the time we're done.
Hey, we got lots to talk about. We'll do fine.
Yeah. Well, before we get to the big stuff, let's talk a little bit about that last game in Kansas City. Had some interesting games. Obviously, all eyes always on Jordan Love. Once again, he had a adequate game. Didn't mind that as much, but man, I really kind of like watching Danny Eitling at quarterback when he kind of came in the fourth quarter. He's got a neat touch on things. He's got some active legs. So sometimes I feel guilty because we're watching Jordan Love for three quarters. Like, okay, well, that was a good pass. Yeah, good. And then all of a sudden Danny Eitling, he has no pressure. He has no expectations and he just does fun stuff. And it was fun watching him.
That's maybe because he had a seventh-grade defense at that point in the game.
Still fun to watch.
Yeah, he comes in, he just has no pressure on him. So
That's good watching him. Good watching him. So on a negative note, we've really had a lot of focuses. Obviously, the things that have really prevented us from making, the Super Bowl or going further in playoffs have been, in the past, our defense, which I think has been vastly improved, at least personnel wise from last year to this year, kept a lot of our starters and actually supplemented that, but special teams, ouch, guys, that Yikes. Did not give me a lot of hope, not a lot of hope against Kansas City last week.
So much for accountability. I thought with the whole new regime change that they wouldn't be so awful. Mm-hmm. What the heck happened?
Well, you know, so many times with special teams, you know, these are your bottom of the 53-man roster guys who are playing. So, really, these were guys battling who may not be even, you know, bottom 53 guys. These are like your bottom 70 guys who are battling it out and trying to get in there. The concern you have is that it seems like no matter who was in there, whether it's one of our guys who made the final roster or one of the guys who didn't, we're kind of seeing those same struggles we saw last year, which seems to me to make it sort of schematic. There's still something wrong with, I don't know if it's a mentality, if it's scheme, if it's attitude, if it's accountability, but they got to get this figured out. The kick and punt coverages, you're just getting so used to seeing the guy break those tackles and make it so much further than they have to. And yet we receive a punt and it's like, can we get back to the 20? Ugh, every time.
One of the things that comes to mind, and I think about when we had good special teams, was there was actual leadership on special teams. One of the problems is you usually had the bottom of the barrel playing it. You know, think back to, you know, 10 years ago when it was Jared Bush. He wasn't that great in defense, but he was fantastic on special teams and really lended some leadership. And if you're going to be a mishmash of whoever's left, is that one of the bigger problems where you should have a point person that maybe you need someone that can actually add some stability and some guidance and some leadership to the other guys who really are bottom of the barrel players?
It was tough because having the new punter, O'Donnell, like just booming kicks down there, and then the net average would just go down because the other team's getting 15, 20-yard punt returns. But like CD said, those guys on special teams out there, most of them are probably not guys who are going to make the roster. I'm hoping that once the regular season starts, like was touched on, we'll get more consistent. Bisaccia coming over was huge, but yeah, it was the thing that kept them from beating the 49ers last year. And had we gotten over that hurdle, I think that, you know, we'd have given the Rams a really tough game because we had already beaten them earlier. So hopefully they can improve upon the debacles of last season. I'm really excited for O'Donnell to be in there punting. You know, Mason Crosby, hopefully he's got a metal leg now because he's long in the tooth. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, activated from the pup list, didn't kick at all or do much in the preseason. Doesn't have to miss a game now either. So he's back and kicking, and that's a positive. That's great. The punter, holy cow, that was really, really fun to watch. McDonald, I think, is his name.
You can bang it, that's for certain.
I mean, you know, when you're sitting there and you're like, one, two, three.
Three and a half.
Well, no, I mean, it was four and a half. I mean, it's awesome to see that hang time. You know, for that, you know, that guy who's the guy we did? J.K.
Bohorquez last year.
Bohorquez. We were all enamored with him, and then he just kind of went flat.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, J.K. Scott, you know, we were teasingly calling him the weapon. Remember that? Because they said, you know, when he was being criticized for wasting a draft pick on a punter, and I don't know if it was Goody or says, well, you know, we really believe that a punter can be a weapon. This guy can be a weapon. And, you know, and we're like, oh, he's the weapon. And he never really quite, I'm looking at the way McDonald's kicking and I'm like, this guy could be a weapon. I mean, if you can turn around field position like that, I hope he kicks like it the rest of the way. But problem we had with Bohorquez was, of course, he kicked great in August and kicked great in September. And then all of a sudden November kicked in and he was shanky McShanky face.
24 yard punts. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I hope we can find, you know, if you've got this punter that can have these giant hang times, we need a gunner to be there for when the ball finally hits the ground.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think with the hang times being what they are, it'll give the guys a little bit more time to get down there. That, you know, that was part of the problem when Bohorquez would just not get a good punt off. There was no time for the gunners to get down there, the coverage team to get down there. So hopefully with this new guy, I'm hoping that, you know, getting the ball up in the air a little bit more. And he came from Chicago. He's a cold weather punter. And obviously the ball is different in December than it's going to be in September. You know, he's familiar with that. And I'm excited for that part anyway.
Yeah, definitely. What'd you guys think about Amari Rodgers out of the backfield?
This is something that I am thrilled to see. It kind of harkens back to, you know, the Badgers a few years ago when I think they had Monty Ball and Corey Clement and Melvin Gordon, and they would have Corey Clement just be the slot receiver and they'd send him in motion, hand him off, and he'd go around the end and he would be gone. I think that this is very fitting for what Amari Rodgers can offer, because from what I have heard, he doesn't know what routes to run. But he's so electric and
right.
Got to get the ball in his hands and let him do his thing. So I'm hoping that they go to the jet sweep often and, you know, and let him go to work.
I'm disappointed that he doesn't know his routes because this is his second year. Come on. But I think this is exactly why they drafted him. They drafted him as a Randall Cobb 2.0. I remember him being marketed as such. And he was Cobb's protege, so to speak. This is what we originally were trying to utilize Cobb for when he was younger. He wasn't 108 years old. And it was something I wish McCarthy, when he was coach, would have utilized him more, because it was the surprise element. Is he going to run? No, we're going to just hand it off and let him just bang it down. So I think this is exactly why Amari Rodgers is still very much on the team and on the roster, because I think this is where he's going to shine. He may not be that deep ball. He may not be the slot receiver. But throw him in a jet sweep, and I think that's where he can light it up.
All right. Should we call that the end of the first quarter, and let's get to the real big news? Let's talk about this 53-man roster. You guys good?
Yeah.
All right. So second quarter, the big cuts came in today. It's interesting because if you look at the Packers' depth chart, there's absolutely nothing shocking. You know what I mean? Like, most of them are players we did not see play the entire preseason. Those are the guys who are starting. We can kind of run through that a little bit. But so most of the battles were with these people that maybe we got a little attached to watching the preseason. You know, and I think one of the big battles we talked about last week, Kelly, was Touré, as you were talking about, going against Juwan Winfrey. And you're like, oh, man, which guy are they going to keep? And they got some really good guys here. And it's like, these guys are competing for, like, the 7th and 8th wide receiver spot, right? I mean, Alan Lazard's on the team. Sammy Watkins is on the team. Romeo Doubs and Randall Cobb, they're all on the team. You know what I mean? These are guys that are barely ever going to see the field. But that's what we're really getting into. So our conversation last week was our big bet with Jersey Al. Was absolutely sure and positive that Juwan Winfrey was going to make the final 53. And as it turns out, he did not. He was one of the players cut. So I can tell why Jersey Al did not show up for the show this evening, because he did not want to have to face us in discussing this.
Because we love pointing out when he's wrong.
It doesn't happen often.
Oh, sweet Schadenfreude.
Yeah, exactly. So another initial shots. So, I mean, obviously the wide receiver room was the one we were looking at quite a bit. So Lazard, Cobb, Watkins, as expected, Romeo Doubs makes the list. Samuel Touré makes the list. Who was the other wide receiver on there? They kept 9. Oh, Christian Watson, who didn't really play.
Cobb, but I'm not surprised by that, because
Doubs, Rodgers, and Touré, yeah.
I'm not surprised by Watson.
Well, he has to. I mean, essentially a first-round pick, if you think about it. But maybe the biggest surprise that most people are raising an eyebrow at, and it kind of goes back to what we just spoke about with, of course, Amari Rodgers, is the Packers have only kept 2 running backs on the roster. This is unusual, because another one of our big debates last week was between Taylor and Goodson, and which one of these guys are going to be kept on to be the third running back. And the correct answer was neither.
Yes. Yes.
Neither are going to be back. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon are running backs 1A and 1A, and there is no B and there is no 2, with the exception possibly of Amari Rodgers coming in into this little jet sweep situation.
And I think that's it. I think he's going to be played more as a running back. Like John alluded, he does not run his routes right yet. He's getting an F minus on that.
I think that LaFleur might think he's got Deebo Samuel light almost, and can utilize Rodgers similarly to how the 49ers use Deebo Samuel.
So just running through it, we got Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love at quarterback, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon at wide receiver, the 7 aforementioned wide receivers, 4 tight ends. 4 tight ends, and none of them really jump off the page at you, right?
But some of them, at any given time, it seems like 3 of them are hurt, so 4 is not a bad
well,
idea.
This is true, and all 4 are somewhat mediocre, so Mercedes Lewis has his moments, sometimes a bit of an, you know, red zone one trick pony sometimes. Robert Tonyan just simply hasn't been Robert Tonyan the last season or two. Josiah DeGara
has a dead knee.
Exactly. So we're keeping 4 tight ends and 7. That's 11 receivers for Aaron Rodgers. And yet, of course, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are talking about being, you know, the first 2,000-yard combo running back tandem since, you know, whatever it was, quite a while ago. So
yeah, I think it tells me that they're going to be using tight ends as a blocking back too. You know, you don't have anyone that really is a true fullback, and I think that position's kind of going the way of the dodo anyway. But I think you're going to be using like the number 4, number 3 tight ends in that blocking situation.
Yeah, they, I mean, with Tonyan kind of being a question mark, you know, coming off of his knee injury, not sure when he'll be back to 100%. You know, we know why Mercedes Lewis is there, and I really like how DeGuara is progressing. I think that he's really ready to step up into a bigger role. He can also be used as a fullback, as we've seen before. And LaFleur really likes Tyler Davis. Tyler Davis had a rough preseason, but for whatever reason, they see him practice. They wanted to keep him there. So it's a strong group, I think. And, you know, getting Tonyan back is kind of like signing a new free agent almost, who has nothing but upside, in my opinion.
And you look at, we only have two running backs, and the Packers kept both of the guys they cut, and they both made the practice squad. So you've got Goodson and Taylor on the practice squad. So it's only a matter of time when you have somebody out for a couple weeks with an injury that one of them will get called up.
One of the disappointments, I think, a guy who initially made the team was, of course, our good friend Micah Abernathy, a guy who's definitely been a show favorite and a fan favorite for some time. Initially made the 53-man roster, yay! But then they brought in Rudy Ford, former 49er at safety, and Mike Abernathy was cut. He's not yet made our practice squad. I'm not sure where he's at, looking probably to clear waivers. So maybe he'll be back in the practice squad, but boy, we saw some really fun athletic stuff from him. A little bit of a disappointment for us.
And that's the one cut that kind of hurt. Not that I'm hugely invested in the lower half of the roster, but I was actually surprised he was the one that was.
And as aforementioned, the running back room, Dexter Williams, is gone. That was another guy who came in and was had his moments coming in. And then, of course, the other, obviously everyone else is gone, Taylor and, oh gosh, who was the guy we were just talking about?
Tyler Goodson,
yeah. So, yeah, a lot of guys that we were looking at. Juwan Winfrey, though, seriously, the guy had so many snaps, and I think as Jersey Al was stating, always seemed to be in the right place. It does put a lot of youth and inexperience in this wide receiver room. Behind the starters. I mean, you're talking Romeo Doubs is on the team, rookie. Touré is on the team, you know, rookie. Christian Watson's on the team, rookie. You know, maybe that Juwan Winfrey wasn't a bad thing to keep around. I don't know if I would have kept him over Touré. I wonder if Touré would have made the practice squad and would have been fine as a late-round pick, but that's where we're at.
And it's not all that different from a couple of years ago when you had MVS, Equanimeous St. Brown, and was it Lazard, all his rookies together, and they actually produced quite well. So I'm not totally in panic mode that we have a bunch of rookies on the roster. We can temper it with some other, you know, with some seasoned veterans, and I think that's where you're going to see Randall Cobb. He may not necessarily be an intangible on the field, but he may be an intangible in the locker room.
And looking at the Packers draft this year, pretty much almost all of them made the team. Watson, Doubs, Touré, all at wide receiver, Sean Ryan, guard, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, all on the team. On defense, John Ford on the team, Devontae Wyatt, Kingsley Ingabari, Tariq Carpenter, all on the team. And, of course, Quay Walker, right now being penciled in as the starting right linebacker, at least for now, bumping out Chris Barnes to a backup role. That's a pretty darn good draft, wouldn't you say? when you're keeping that many guys on the roster.
Well, what were they graded? Wasn't it like a B or a B plus when their draft score was when it came out? I was pretty pleased with it. It was a solid draft.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they got criticism. I think a lot of people graded them down for not taking the wide receiver in the first round. Obviously, there are some pretty good wide receivers out there that they could have taken. Then the trading up to get Watson seemed a little... Oh, we got to quickly draft a wide receiver now, so let's trade up and get this one. Either way, I think Watson and Doubs are great wide receivers for the future. Maybe even by the end of the season, it's a possibility. But yeah, I mean, you have to balance out your roster. We have so much big money being tossed to, you know, seven players at the top of the salary cap, right? I mean,
Al, this is where he talks about kicking the can, and I'm really, really sorry.
Oh, no, actually, it's normally me. But the reality is you have to balance that out with first contract guys. If you're going to put these veteran free agents and pay them all NFL standard, you know, NFL top level money, eventually you have to balance that out with a guy on their first contract. And that's why the draft becomes so important when you're a team like the Packers, who is, you know, saying, yeah, I guess we got to make Aaron Rodgers the top, you know, paid player in NFL history again. Well, as soon as you do that, you got to have probably three guys on a rookie contract to balance it out, because you can't have 53 guys making that kind of money and, you know, filling out a roster without going over the cap. So draft, very important for not just for getting talent, but literally filling out the roster.
Yeah, it's really important to get quality production from your rookies on their rookie contract. I think we're seeing the way that these financial numbers are going. I'm not going to be surprised if some teams just don't sign their quarterbacks to these massive contracts, because it hamstrings the rest of the roster, like you're saying.
And hamstrung we are.
Yeah. There's a lot of dead money after several people retire.
So let's talk a little bit about the practice squad. So far, we've got some familiar names who have been cut, cleared waivers, been picked up. Danny Eitling, the aforementioned quarterback that I found to be excited, will be kept in on the practice squad, probably to be the scout team quarterback. And I said I kind of enjoy watching him, so I'm excited to have him around. Travis Fulgham, wide receiver, also makes it. Rico Gafford, we saw him quite a bit in the defensive secondary. Tyler Goodson makes the team with all those splashy big yard plays at running back. He comes back. Jack Heflin, the defensive lineman who captured our attention, was cut, amazingly clear waivers, and came back. And, of course, Caleb Jones and also running back Patrick Taylor, both back as well, along with a couple other players. Anything standing out to you guys for the practice squad?
Go ahead, Kelly.
Is this the first time we've not looked outside our own cuts to former practice squad? Because I think everybody on the list is somebody we have. It's a known entity to the Packers. They didn't go looking elsewhere for other talent.
I had heard recently or read recently that I may be wrong here, listeners, so I apologize. But from what I had heard or remember, last year, after roster cuts to 53, there were 46 roster claims, waiver claims around the league, and the Packers were not one of them last year. I can't speak for previous years. And looking at this, I am surprised that a couple got through. Like you mentioned, CD Jack Heflin. I was pretty bummed that he got cut in the first place. And even Travis Fulgham, who had been a practice player in the past, had a huge season with the Eagles a few seasons ago, and then kind of has disappeared since. I think he went to Detroit. I'm hoping maybe he can regain that spark that he had. I'm pretty happy with what we have here.
And Kylan Hill, we mentioned also, another running back on the PUP list. Malik Taylor, wide receiver, along with Juwan Winfrey last year on the IR. Danny Davis also making the injured reserve. So Vernon Scott also on injured reserve. So I think that's kind of what you get, guys. I mean, if you saw the Chiefs, they were playing a lot of their, I don't know, I want to say necessarily their starters, maybe not their primetime starters, but to start the game, they had a lot of their guys in. They wanted to put those guys in, and that's something we used to do. Packers used to do that. We used to have, you know, Aaron Rodgers would start that third preseason game, right? And then, so you'd see a little bit. We're not seeing that at all with the Packers, so they are really getting extensive looks at their guys, maybe even more so than other NFL teams. So it does make sense. Hey, these guys have been out there playing for us. We love them. Yeah, let's keep as many of them as we can on the practice squad. We haven't seen these other guys play. We know what we got. So it's a testament, I think, to what Gutekunst drafts, the talent he brings in, the fact that the coaching staff still sees it and says, yeah, I want this guy. That'd be great.
And I think, you know, with the way the season goes, I would not be surprised if you saw Jack Heflin or Goodson suddenly make the active roster when somebody goes down with an injury. If the COVID rule stayed in place for practice squad, where you can move things around with a little more flexibility in the past couple of years, or did that change this year? I don't even know.
I think I read, as I was going to touch on this too, I think I read that if the players are on the active roster for more than three games, then they have to sign them to the 53-man squad. And so I don't know if that is back or if that was before COVID. I'm not sure. I can do some research and fill us in here. But I do think, like we had been saying, a lot of these guys are going to get playing time. We looked at, you know, even some of the players who did get cut when they had mentioned that they were with the Packers on the practice squad last year and they got in one game or two games. I fully expect Winfrey to be up there. He's a Rodgers guy. He'll be up there before too long, in my opinion. Heflin, like you said, Kelly, Tyler Goodson, and Patrick Taylor both probably will. You know, we always seem to be hurt in the secondary, even though I'd say we have the best trio of cornerbacks in the league. But, you know, those D-backs are going to see time. And offensive line, I mean, those three position groups, D-backs, D-line, and offensive line, they're going to see action just because, especially on the line, it's a war of attrition. And I'm reading that Ramiz Ahmed did get signed to the practice squad. I would not be surprised if he makes an appearance or two this year.
Well, and the reality is if we approach the preseason as being this, we're going to rest our starters and let these guys fight it out. You got to figure a team that really is planning on making the playoffs is probably going to, you know, not push starters to play absolutely every one of the 17 games if they're nursing an injury. So, yeah, you're right. These guys are all going to get at some point this season.
And I think they're really kind of treated like, you know, I'm using my own kid as an analogy, the baby varsity, the kids that play JV and varsity at the same time, but they're not complete starters. But you can pull them up at a moment's notice, and they know the system. And I like everyone that's on the practice squad. I think it's a very solid practice squad. If somebody went down, I think I would trust any of these guys on this roster.
All right, well, that'll take us to the end of the second quarter. We got our roster. We're going to be waiting for that first game here in a couple Sundays from now. We're going to take it to halftime and a little word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
And welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. I'm here with John and Kelly Hodgson. My name is CD Angeli, and we're ready to start the third quarter. And as always, because it seems like something we have to do every single week, it's time for Aaron Rodgers Talk. And I believe Kelly is loaded for bear this week.
Because
we get to go back and revisit all of our frustrations with vaccinations again, because he just can't stop talking about it. So, Kelly, we'll let you go.
Apparently, everything that happened last year is living right in his head.
I'm just going to go get some coffee while you talk.
Don't beat up my guy too bad, Kelly. Don't beat him up too bad.
Well, yeah, we got an acolyte here, people.
Yeah, we do. I'll keep it short. It's like, I think we all let all of his decisions last year stay in the, we're all ready, even I was ready to let it stay in the past. Like, let's focus on the 2022 season. But no, he has to go on Joe Rogan and air his grievances again. He likened the policies that the NFL had. Apparently, if you were unimmunized, not only did you have to wear a mask in the facilities, you had to do your pressers by Skype. You also had to wear a little yellow wristband to announce to everybody, hey, I'm not immunized. It is what it is. And he likened it, which I think hacked off most of the internet, to the Holocaust. Dude, you are not being, you had to wear a bracelet. It's no big deal. And he just kind of ripped that bandaid off and kind of brought up all the ugly feelings from last year and, you know, was playing the victim. But what was interesting was Jason Wilde, and as all of you know, he did a podcast for several years with Aaron Rodgers after that Super Bowl win. Jason teed off on him and kind of called him on it. Jason, of course, feels very guilty that he didn't follow up on what he mean by immunized. Jason, I'm going to put this out there. You did nothing wrong. Immunized and vaccinated, those words are synonymous. Don't beat yourself up. The guy played you because he knew you trusted him, and he minced words on purpose. You didn't do anything wrong.
And I think it's important to note that Aaron Rodgers, in his interview with Joe Rogan, really took some pretty firm shots at the media, and not only just at the national media. I know Keith Olbermann had some sort of, oh, look, he's talking about me. Well,
What, did he name him the worst person in the world? I missed that. Did that happen?
No, he just started a new podcast, and that was one of his first things. He says, oh, look, my criticism, he's talking about me. And I'm like, well, it's kind of like Rob Schneider saying he's going to give up his acting career. I was like, yeah, Keith Olbermann, you've been kind of over for a while, too. But he really did kind of go against some of the local guys. And it's guys like Jason Wilde and Domofsky who I think were getting some of the wrath of Rogers in this interview, that he was going against our local guys. Now, mind you, Cheesehead Radio, one of the things that we did very early on in our show is we really built relationships with the local guys. And we've had Domofsky on and we've had Wilde on the show many times because, you know, when this whole podcast thing kind of started out, there was that threat, you know, for our local media guys, like, oh, these guys are doing stuff for free. And that was always our goal, was to highlight them. And I guess, yeah, to see Rogers just basically crucify them.
Yeah, not cool.
It was rough.
Not cool.
It was rough because I do like these guys. I mean, sometimes I don't like everything that they do or everything that they say, but what they do is really important. And I was not a fan of seeing him going on Joe Rogan, who I don't have a ton of respect for anyway, and just, you know, light him on fire.
Well, the fact that he went after indirectly Jason Wilde, who has at times put his reputation on the line to defend the guy. And I think Jason had every right to tee off on him this week.
Okay. Let me.
All right.
Another corner.
All right. Does he have his fanboy hat on?
Okay. No, I don't. I am firmly, as much as my love runs deep for Aaron Rodgers, I am setting boundaries and I am not happy. There's just a few things, like throwing your local beat reporters or reporters under the bus like that. It's unacceptable. It's not okay. These guys bleed for the team and really, you know, they write, they report, and a lot of the public comes after them for what they're reporting. And even though they're in the corner of the players, so it's just unacceptable, in my opinion, for Rodgers to do that. He openly admitted to, let me read exactly what he said, purposefully misleading people with the immunized response. So he knew exactly what he was doing. He also claims now that he's allergic to an ingredient in the mRNA portion of the vaccine.
Can I go off on what that is?
Yeah, I would love to hear your medical expertise on this, actually.
Okay, so he says he's allergic to PEG, polyethylene glycol. Okay, doing a quick search. Yeah, it's a very, 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 very rare allergic reaction. Mind you, it's in a lot of products. So, and including Miralax. It's the active ingredient in the laxative Miralax. But it's also a thickening agent because it draws water into things. So it's a thickening agent in lotion, soaps, hair care products, and shower gels. Maybe he's allergic to it. Maybe that's why he's got kind of sus dirtball hygiene these days. Who knows? But to say you're allergic to it means you're allergic to a lot of things in life. And I'm not calling him a liar, but it's something that's it's not saying like I'm allergic to penicillin or allergic to bees or I'm allergic to peanut butter, which are common things. And if he was allergic to it, his medical staff would know that and he would have gotten a medical exemption. He's saying it with no backup from the Packer medical staff or the NFL. So is he telling the truth? Is he not? Don't know.
He claims that he told the other players, he told the coaching staff in the organization, and he told the NFL that he was allergic to PEG right away. I am going to keep this podcast PG. I would call that fill in the blank nonsense. Because in my opinion, if that was the case, he would have given that argument right away when all of this happened. And he said that the media just took and ran with the fact that he misled everybody and they didn't give him a chance to speak and all of this. And it's, you got caught and it took you this long to come up with the allergy response. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. So I'm pretty disappointed in all that. And I agree, CD, I am not a fan of Joe Rogan. I actually did not listen to the podcast because I don't want to give him any business. I think I would have become more upset after hearing it than not.
The other thing that came out of this whole with Joe Rogan was the idea that, to maybe elicit a Farvian comparison, his admission that he has played games while doped up on drugs, and maybe more specifically, Kelly, painkillers.
That I'm not surprised, because I think a lot of NFL players historically have done that. You know, is it
excuse is that everyone does it? Everyone does it. They use a lot of players, but he admitted it. I mean, he just said basically, yeah, I'm playing high on Percocet,
which is a Schedule II, which means you can prescribe it. So where is he getting it from? Was it something that was on the up and up from the medical staff, or is this something he's doing on the side? Don't know. But again, that is a legal medication, unlike the ayahuasca, which he was kind of tripping on in the offseason, which is not legal.
Right.
But that's a bigger conversation, I think, when it comes to the NFL. And it's like they nail people for using cannabis for pain medication, possibly medicating mental health issues, because it's a Schedule I, which means you cannot use it in any circumstance. It's illegal unless you're in like places like Colorado, but it's a banned substance in the NFL. Whereas Percocet is perfectly okay. It's a narcotic. It's an opioid painkiller. And it's fine in all 50 states, and I think it's on the okay list with the NFL if it's prescribed by a physician.
So here he is admitting he's playing high on Percocet. There's, of course, the widespread clutching of pearls, you know, especially from the Florios of the world. But how often do we have players admit to this while they're still playing? This is pretty rare.
You hear about it after the fact, once retired. It's like, oh yeah, I played half my games, you know, loaded on opioids. You know, Brett Favre, yeah, I still remember when it was shortly after the NFL, you know, the Super Bowl season, that he was admitted, I think, to Belen in Green Bay. And the story was he had a seizure because he was withdrawing from opioids.
Right. In front of his daughter. That was a huge thing. So when we tell the story about Favre, you know, grabbing handfuls of painkillers and playing games and how he's getting through and was lying and getting different prescriptions from different team doctors and outside doctors, we're telling it as a morality tale. We're telling it as a tragedy. And it's different to hear it from Rogers just saying like, yeah, I do it. What are you going to do about it? Oh, nothing. Yeah, good. Also, I use hallucinogens. Boom. What are you going to do about it? Okay. And we don't do anything about it. We just kind of say, well, okay.
The problem with Percocet, though, is if it was prescribed and it was, you get this vague, you know, uses every 4 hours as needed for pain. How can you say he's misusing it other than he's playing, you know, there's no rule. The NFL doesn't say you can't tank up on a painkiller before a game. So I think the bigger conversation, and this is where I'm going to, you know, straddle the fence of maybe I'm on his side, because if it was legitimately prescribed, there's no reason he can't take it. Granted, it could affect judgment, reaction time, because it is, it's a depressant. But are we, you know, looking at the bigger picture of the NFL, you know, are we treating pain improperly? Are we over-prescribing opioids? You know, we talk about the opioid epidemic in America, and everyone thinks of the heroin-using junkie. The vast majority of opioids that are overused and misused in America are prescribed legitimately.
I think a couple things. One, I think the Joe Rogan podcast, to me, it was a little look at me, Louie, in my opinion. Just these are all the things I can get away with because I'm Aaron Rodgers. It's sort of that sense I kind of feel. I do think also he in his later years here is kind of saddling up and almost taking on the NFL and pointing out the inconsistencies, if you will, like you're saying, painkillers aren't a problem in the NFL. So, I mean, I think they all know I shouldn't speak in absolution. And a lot of the players are taking injections before games, are on the pain meds. And maybe that's what he's trying to do, is point that out, you know, and the ayahuasca, it fits in with his mold right now with what he's doing. But the players in the new CBA, they only get drug tested once before the season, and cannabis, they're not supposed to test for anymore. Actually, that's not true. They do test for it. The amount that they are able to have in their system increased about 4 times from what it was previously, and they are not allowed to get suspended for it. They get fined if they test positive above the allowed amount, but they do not get suspended anymore. So that was one of the big things with the previous CBA. I don't know. I mean, I think I don't know what to think with him anymore. Yes, I'm still a Rodgers stan, but it's leaving a pretty sour taste in my mouth. So,
and like John, I said, I think you were.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Like I said, after the NFL draft pod that I filled in for Jersey L, just win in the playoffs. I can forgive almost everything else. Just bleep and win, please.
Winning does cure a lot of things, doesn't it?
And I think, John, you're where I was last year when I was very angry because of his stance on things. Because he's made my job a little more difficult, for those who know what I do for a living, with his spreading of disinformation. And it's hard to you know, Wadey, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the country, and I'm ever, and I'm really glad that he's our quarterback. But I really question his judgment on a lot of other things, and it's hard to kind of weigh those two against each other. Yeah, I can be really disgusted with him as a person, but it feels kind of dirty at the same time. But I'm okay with it because I want the Packers to win. He's our quarterback, and I don't have to agree with him, but it does leave it, like you said, a sour taste in my mouth.
All right. Well, we're going to take it to the end of the third quarter here, and I'm going to surprise my co-hosts here with what we're going to do for the fourth quarter. We're just going to go around the horn, and I'm just going to give you all a little free-for-all. This is just like a little, you know, shoot your shot. What you got? What do you got to say about the Packers? You can make it anything you want. Make it about the roster. Make it about what's happening coming up with the season, excitement for the Viking, whatever you guys want. So who wants to go first? Give me your soliloquy.
I'll go.
John, the floor is yours.
Okay. So I'm just kind of, you know, retaking a look at the schedule that we have. I think the playoffs are, I don't want to say almost a guarantee, but they're pretty much a guarantee, I would say. You know, the Bears might be the worst team in the league. The Lions, everybody's going to be high on the Lions because of, what's that show called? Hard Knocks. Brain fart. And I think that they'll be okay, but they're still the Lions. The Vikings, they still have Kirk Cousins as a quarterback, but Justin Jefferson's really good. You know, they have a new coach coming in, so I think that the Packers will be okay there. I don't, the rest of it, Rodgers is still going to play at a super high level. I would like him to take a little bit more chances. I'm okay with throwing a couple more interceptions when we're trying to push the ball down the field and trying to score. And I think it's going to be interesting because he hasn't had a ton of time with these receivers. I mean, Lazard, yes, but everybody else, pretty interesting. I'm excited for the season to start. I'm hopeful that Devondre Campbell is going to come back being all pro again. I really like how Quay Walker is playing. I think he's got a potential to make a Pro Bowl just being alongside Campbell, and the dude just, he knows where to be sideline to sideline. I love it. Devontae Wyatt, I don't think he's going to have to play as much, which might help him. This defense is going to be really good, and I'm super excited for that because, as you all know, it's been a long time since we've had a defense this solid. I would think 12 wins is not out of the question. I don't want to host a playoff game. Get that crap out of here. Let's go to a warm weather place. Let's go to a dome, because we look back at when they won in 2010, and I know that was a different time and different Rodgers, but we were on the road. We were in domes, and that's where he's at his best. I'm interested to see. They're going to London. We talked about this before for the first time. I'll be curious to see what the fan base is like over there. We play the Buccaneers. We have the Patriots at home. We're at the Bills, the Cowboys at home. That Eagles game week 12 is going to be, that Sunday night game is going to be a really, really fun game. Both teams could go into that with really strong records. And I don't see a stretch in the schedule where they should go on a losing streak. I think we're spoiled as Packers fans. I think it's time that we sort of approach our mortality, if you will, and be thankful for what we have. But gosh darn it, just win in the playoffs. That's all I got.
I feel like there should have been patriotic music playing there at the end.
Yeah, you could probably underlay something, right?
I'm sitting over here saluting. All right.
I'm sure I missed something, but just win. That's all what it comes down to. Just
okay,
win.
Okay, Al Davis, settle down. You know, I've been thinking about this incarnation of the Packers team and how with every roster move, the Packers fandom is driving me absolutely bananas. We don't have any big name wide receivers, blah, blah, blah. I really want these baby wide receivers to show that they're ready for prime time. If for any other reason to shut the whining fandom up, because Rodgers has this innate ability, even though he drives me absolutely bananas, to make nobodies look really good. Cobb looked great his rookie season, and he was a second round draft choice. He made Lazard and MVS and Equimania St. Brown look fabulous as rookies, and we weren't that worried. We're back in the situation where we have a bunch of rookies, but some of them that have already earned Rodgers' respect and trust. I think we're going to see great things with these new guys. I hope Amari Rodgers turns it on, if not as a wide receiver, as a secret, double top secret running back, even though he's not double top secret anymore. But John hit on this. This is a team I'm most excited about to see the defense. And I've said this several times last winter. I think, well, even though we have Rodgers as our superstar, this is truly a defensive team now. You have your strongest, deepest defense that we've had since 2010. We finally have inside linebackers that aren't just happily mediocre. They are a force to be reckoned with. If we have a healthy defensive line, I don't think there's anybody stopping them. This is a team that's, to prove the cliche, defense wins championships, and I think we finally have the defense to win championships. I want to see everything they've got, and I'm actually more excited about them than I am with the Rodgers offense. If the defense can hold up their end of the bargain, it's going to be a very tough team to defeat. So I'm very optimistic. I don't have to like my quarterback as a person. You know, it's probably a good idea to go through life not holding famous people to a higher standard. They're schlubs. They have bad breath and poop like the rest of us. And I think Rodgers is proving that. But you're right. Just win. That's a great mentality. I don't have to like every single player. And in fact, looking back through the years, there have been lots of players I don't like, but I like the team and I like what they do on the team. And I think I can separate that in my head. So I want to put the whining Packers fan base, you know, just to silence them. It's like, you know what? Goody has come up with a roster that I think is stronger than it was last year. No, we don't have Tay Adams. We don't have MVS. But you know what? I think it's going to be okay.
Oh, okay.
You,
hey, all right,
dude,
yes.
You.
All right. Well done. And for my, I guess, final parting shot, I'm going to defer to the Packer tweeter that I refer to as my spirit animal, Ken Ingles. Ken Ingles is a cap guy. He does some great insight into the cap and how the things are afforded. And he and I have been on the same page for a really, really long time, especially as it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Just post this week a little bit that we have now reached a point of cap hell with Aaron Rodgers. His cap hit for 2023 is going to be $31.6 million. We're out of ways. We have done all the magic wanding we can. We've done all the delays and everything like that. There's no way to reduce this anymore. We've signed him. We've extended him. We've redone it. We've redone it again. There's no way. It's $31 million. Next season, if he's traded or retires, if he retires, it's $40 million. If we cut him, it's almost $100 million on the cap. And here's the funny part. It gets worse every year after that. In 2024, the cap hit will start at 40. If he's traded or retires, it goes to 68. Or if he's cut, it goes to 68 million. 68 million. 2025, his cap hit starts at $60 million with no way to reduce it. If he's traded, retired, or is cut, instead of 60 million, it'll still be $77 million on the cap. So he posts this, and of course he refers to it as a time bomb, which we said, all of a sudden all these people on the tweeter start responding and says, you know, we never should have extended him back in 2018. Really? Really?
Shock!
Really? Who would have been saying that at the time? Who would have said that? But now all of a sudden, here we are with this time bomb contract. It's one thing that Ingles and many others, and I don't know if it's going to happen, they're saying this is kind of it, that it's going to be the least amount of damage if he gets cut or traded or retires this year. So even though we've said it for the last, I don't know how many seasons, this is the last season with Aaron Rodgers. This is it. We're throwing everything against the wall. The window's closing. Judging from the way this contract has been done, we have no more magic tricks to do. There's nothing else we can do. And it's just going to get worse and worse every season and cripple the team more. So I'm with John. Just win, baby. just win, because, oh, crap, it's going to get worse from here on out.
Those numbers are alarming. Holy smokes. I really thank you for bringing that up, because I was unaware of that. Oh, my.
It's like he could get struck by lightning and die, and we would still owe $60 million to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was saying.
So much of it up ahead, but we spread it out. So he's already got the money. We just got to pay for it.
And who wants to tell John that Bakhtiari's contract is no better?
Well, his is a little different because that's got those voided years. So we'll be paying his, you know, well after, you know, when the contract's, you know, we'll be paying for a couple years after. But you're right, Bakhtiari may not even play. I mean, we know he's off the PUP list and we know he's on the roster, but we still have yet to see what we have. So I don't know, man. Just win, baby.
Yeah, let's enjoy the present, because according to that, unless if the NFL becomes a no salary cap league, it could be rough.
Guys, you cannot see John's face right now, but I can, and he's almost in tears. This is just a look of absolute shock on his face.
It's like, holy crap, it's that much. What? Yes, John, it is that much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll take us to the end of the fourth quarter, and I just want to say a huge thanks to John Heesch for joining us tonight and filling in again, once again, out of the bullpen. Great talking to you again, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to do this. And, you know, I just keep my arm sharp, you know, ready to go whenever I'm called. Just like Craig Counsell the other night, the bullpen phone didn't work, and he put his arms up like this for Raptor, and Brent Suter knew that that was him, so he was getting ready to go just by putting his arms up with claws like that. So you just send the bat signal, send the Raptor arms up, and I'll be here ready to go.
Can I ask you, what would be the arm signal for Heesch? What is that?
I don't know. At this point,
wings.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know what's going on anymore. Yeah, just coffee. Just coffee is my signal. Figure out how to do it from there. You know, an old fashioned might work too. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to go out here, Kelly?
We're ready.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead Radio in our lucky 13th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, leave us a review and show us some love. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Ticket King has been in business for more than 25 years and has, phew, my goodness, right in the middle of that. There's one to edit.
Please leave that sneeze in there.
I will. Yes. Okay. Hey, everybody. I was trying so hard to hold it back, too. It was amazing.
It just means it's going to be like 50 times worse.
Oh, my goodness.